Pam Martin. I'm from Plymouth. I was at the 648 hearing from the Judiciary Committee. So I listened to Attorney Ross's testimony and also yours, Mr. Harrington. I just want to refer to a couple of points you made at that hearing. We've already talked about the definition of system reliability. But this is what I remember you saying, that there was a 15% excess capacity right now in the New England grid. Even in an extremely hot summer, ISO New England says we have enough energy to meet our electricity needs, and that there is no New Hampshire grid, it's New England grid. These are the things I remember you saying. So,
all correct.
Okay.
Well, I remember him saying anyway, so
right.
May not be the exact words, but.
Mr. Shelton's
podcast. So I looked it up, I Googled and found what they talked about system reliability, and there was a document entitled Measurement Practices for Reliability and Power Quality, a toolkit of reliability measurement practices. And this was put out by the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, U.S. Department of Energy, and Syntex. And it's very dense, and I don't understand all of it. But I will just add a real quick synopsis. One of the things they said in this document was that local solutions should be addressed, if people needed over and above what was provided through the general grid, that local solutions could be implemented. In other words, there was a level of capacity that there was a limited amount that could be provided through the general grid, and anything over and above that should be provided locally. So you could say that it could be provided through, solar or wind that's provided locally, or storage capacity, or even trying to conserve energy. So that's one of the things I was thinking about when I was thinking about all this, was that if I had a party, just to put it in terms that I can understand, if I was going to have a party, it was a potluck party, and I said to everybody to bring a dish, I wouldn't just say everybody bring as much food as they could. Just keep bringing food and it'll all work out. I would say bring just enough. Just enough and a little bit more. And therefore there wouldn't be any waste. People wouldn't waste food, waste the resources. Because I think human nature is such that if we have too much of something, we don't conserve it and we waste it. And that's just human nature. And that's the same thing with electricity. If it's just one electricity party like that, I know that you're saying that's just a theoretical picture, but when people like us look at that picture and say, my gosh, are we going to be inundated with power lines in this state to get power to us to another state that may be too much power? You know, how much is enough? And if the people in further south of us need more power, why don't they produce it locally? Why is New Hampshire going to be sacrificed as a power corridor to all the other states that might want it? And one of the things I found when I was researching this is that there was a FERC proposal that breaks down the entire United States into six grids, to six regions. And that would mean New Hampshire is in a region with New York City and Boston and Philadelphia and Baltimore. So if they need more power and Hydro-Quebec wants to sell power, we're in the middle. And that's how they're going to get it down. They're going to come right through New Hampshire. And that's what worries me. And I know you both say you love New Hampshire as we do, and you don't want New Hampshire to turn into a power corridor like we don't, that this would be of concern to you as well.
Well, that's a lot to start just with addressing what you've already brought up, because, you brought up quite a bit there.
Okay.
USA Today voted that New Hampshire's I-93 corridor was one of the most beautiful drives in New Hampshire. Voted number three as the greenest state in New Hampshire. New Hampshire's the greenest state. That was by the Wall Street Journal. It's the number two as the healthiest state in which to live, and number one is the richest state in which to live. So people don't live in this state because they have to. They live here because they want to. We love this state. We want it to remain the same. And I'm hoping, my dream and hope is that the PUC and the people of New Hampshire become on the same team, that we're not against each other, that you're on the same team as us, and we all work together to make sure that New Hampshire stays the beautiful, green, healthy place that it always has been. So.
Quickly, by what you said initially is accurate. I think it's an accurate depiction of what I said. It's around in the last forward capacity auction, which is where what we do in New England is ISO New England through this very involved process with all sorts of people being involved, including myself and some people that work for me. They go down and they figure out each year into the future, 3 years, how much capacity do we need? And when I say capacity, that's how many power plants, how much imports do we have, how much demand response, which is where people agree to reduce power at certain times when they're asked to, how much of that do we have to make sure we have enough for the maximum amount of load, and then we got to give conditions on that. What if a transmission line happens? What if Seabrook Station trips offline, which is one of the larger individual power sources? What if the existing Hydro-Quebec line goes down for that day? So there's a lot of contingencies put in there, and they come up with this figure of what's called installed capacity requirement. Right now, we have a market, it's an auction, where people bid into that, and at the floor price, there's about 15% people left in, more capacity than we need, and that's what I meant by the 15% surplus capacity, which right now is good. It keeps the price low for consumers. There's always a moving target, and Bob can certainly speak on this in a second a lot more than I do. There's a lot of new PA regulations coming up now. No one exactly knows how they're going to affect. There's up to 9,000 megawatts of electric generation in New England that is could be affected by the EPA regulations, either through emissions controls or through cooling water requirements. And some of those may go away. You know, enough of them go away, then all of a sudden we're short, and we don't have enough electricity, and then the price is going to go way up on the capacity market. So it's a balancing act trying to look into the future. But it's, and as far as the regional stuff goes, there's been all sorts of different things proposed. I don't see anything within the near term, and by that I mean over the next at least 10 years, where New England would be combined with any other region. Back when they were looking at setting up the ISOs, they were trying to make New York and New England one, and it was just the back and forth never got anywhere. New York is its own ISO, New England's its own ISO right now. And as far as bringing power down from Canada, yeah, there are only a few routes, and a lot of them come through either New Hampshire, Vermont, or New York. Those are the main proposed things that are looked at to get the power down. New York has a lot of issues because there's a lot of push to close down the Indian Point power plant, which is about 2,000 megawatts, and they don't have the infrastructure right now to get the power down from either Canada or from northern New York to get it to New York City.